Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The images coming in now, protesters clashing with police in riot gear on campuses across the country. Also tonight, the hostage video shown to the world tonight. The American-Israeli son seen alive for the first time in 201 days and what he says to his parents. And tonight, the American husband detained, possibly facing 12 years behind bars in Turks and Caicos because of what was found in his bag. First tonight, the clashes, the pro-Palestinian demonstrations on campuses from USC to UT Austin to Columbia in New York. Some protesters arrested tonight, police vehicles surrounded by crowds. And tonight, what one major school has just done. And in New York, House Speaker Mike Johnson booed by demonstrators as he pushes for Columbia's president to resign. Also tonight, the harrowing new images of American-Israeli hostage Hirsch Goldberg-Polen, the son who was forced into a pickup truck by Hamas at that music festival, part of his arm blown off. Tonight, for the first time in more than 200 days, his parents see him alive and what their son says to them. The Senate overnight passing the aid package for both Israel and for Ukraine. President Biden tonight signing it after many Republicans in the House tried to block it. And tonight, we learned the U.S. had already sent long-range missiles to Ukraine, already in use tonight in the fight against Russia. For the first time since overturning Roe versus Wade, the justices at the Supreme Court now hearing arguments about Idaho's near-total abortion ban. What happens in a medical emergency if a woman in desperate need seeks help in the ER? The revealing comments tonight from the justices at the court today. Tonight, the American tourist, the husband and father, arrested in Turks and Caicos, possibly facing more than a decade in prison after a discovery in his carry-on. He says it was an accident tonight. You'll hear from him right here. Tonight, the major turn less than a month after the deadly collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The exclusive right here tonight. Terry Moran flying over the site, and you'll see what starts tomorrow. We're tracking severe storms across several states, two systems hitting back to back. The alarming scene on the streets of London. Look at this, horses breaking free, running in the streets. If you're flying this summer, the new rules tonight, the refunds the airlines will owe you if your flight is canceled, will go down the list. And the incredible rescue seen by millions, strangers pulling over one after the other, racing into the danger. It is America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. The harrowing hostage video released tonight, the 24-year-old American-Israeli son seen alive for the first time in 201 days and what he says to his parents. But we begin tonight with the tension spreading across college campuses amid demonstrations over the Israel-Hamas war. At USC in Los Angeles tonight, a peaceful march protesting the war in Gaza, then turning into a chaotic scene. Police removing tents, soon scuffling with protesters. The campus entrances have been closed tonight. Students must now show an ID to get on campus. At the University of Texas in Austin, state troopers in riot gear, some on horseback, moving in. Several arrests tonight. And at Columbia in New York, the university giving protesters who set up those tents until tomorrow night to leave. Late today here in New York, House Speaker Mike Johnson with Republican lawmakers booed by protesters calling on Columbia's president to resign. A tense scene on so many campuses tonight. ABC's Matt Gutman leading us off at USC.
Tonight, pro-Palestinian protests over the war in Gaza erupting across this country and tearing college campuses apart. At USC in Los Angeles, police clashing with protesters after taking down their tents and signs, trying to force their way through the crowd. Some of the protesters pushed to the ground, then others surrounding this campus police car.
Several hundred protesters have been here for at least 4 hours at this point. But as they've been chanting behind us, this cordon of security that we've been seeing has gotten closer and closer.
At the University of Texas in Austin, a crackdown from state police in riot gear using bikes and horses to push back that sea of students occupying a mall. Officers arresting more than 20 people.
It's a mess. It's very chaotic.
UT officials saying they will not allow this campus to be taken. It comes as students at Harvard and Brown today set up new encampments in solidarity with protesters at more than a dozen other colleges. Students demanding their school divest from companies that profit from Israel's war in Gaza.
We're not okay with our tuition, our money going towards genocide. We want the university to divest from death.
At Columbia University, ground zero for this new wave of protests. The U.S. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, greeted with boos from the crowd as he called for the university president to resign after meeting with Jewish students who say they'd been targeted on campus.
A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets.
We are Hamas!
Some Jewish students pointing to videos like this one, a woman in front of pro-Israel protesters with a sign reading Al-Qassam's next target, a reference to Hamas's military wing. Columbia's president Manoush Shafiq under fire since she was grilled on Capitol Hill last week about anti-Semitism on campus.
Death to the Zionist state. Jews out. You don't think those are anti-Jewish?
Completely anti-Jewish. Completely unacceptable.
So you change your...
Activists on campus in heated arguments.
You don't have to invest. You got America.
And tonight, USC closing campus to anyone without a university ID.
David, just over the past half hour or so, we've noticed the campus security here has put on those helmets. There are batons. The LAPD is just outside the gates of the school, as is the LA Fire Department. And Speaker Johnson today saying that he will speak personally with President Biden, asking him to put a stop to these protests across the country, even using the National Guard if necessary, David.
Matt Gupman live in Los Angeles, a familiar scene across this country tonight. Matt, thank you. We turn now to the harrowing new images of American Israeli hostage Hirsch Goldberg Polan, the son who was forced into the back of that pickup truck by Hamas at that music festival. Part of his arm had been blown off. Tonight, for the first time in 201 days, his parents seeing their son alive in this video put out by Hamas. What he says to his parents in that video, and tonight those brave parents who we have followed for some time here, and their new message to their son. Tom Sufi Burridge in Israel.
They were the images that horrified the world. A 23-year-old American-Israeli hostage, Hirsch Goldberg Polan, being pushed into the back of a pickup truck by Hamas terrorists. Hirsch's parents, originally from Chicago, have fought to get their son home from day one, finding the last known photo of him in a shelter at that music festival that came under attack. Mass terrorists throwing grenades into that small shelter. They believe their son's arm was blown off. Tonight, 201 days after the attack, the world now seeing Hirsch Goldberg Polan alive. In a video put out by Hamas, he is speaking in Hebrew.
Hirsch Goldberg Polan.
Hirsch sitting upright, his hair shaved and missing part of that left arm.
My name is Rachel.
Tonight, Hirsch's parents, John and Rachel, releasing their own statement, clearly relieved that their son is still alive.
Seeing a video of Hirsch today is overwhelming. We're relieved to see him alive, but we are also concerned about his health and well-being.
Those parents have said it is okay to get this hostage video of their son out in front of the world. He can be heard saying, I am the son of Jonathan and Rachel. I was born in California. And he says, quote, one last thing, and more important than anything, Mum, Dad, Libby, Orly, I love you very much. I miss you very much. And I think of you every day that I'm here. I need you to stay strong for me and not stop fighting. If Hirsch only knew what his parents have done to get him home since those first days of the attack. Sitting down with David, telling us about the last two text messages from their son.
There were two messages in a row at 8:11. The first one said, I love you. And the second one said, I'm sorry. So I immediately knew something terrible had happened. I tried immediately to call him and it rang and rang and rang. I wrote, are you okay? No answer. Are you okay? Let me know you're okay. And so that's the last time we heard from him, was at 8:11 Saturday morning. The fact that he didn't just say, I love you, but that he said, I'm sorry, I took immediately to be that he knew we were going to be in tremendous pain or worry or crisis, because it made no sense.
We will never forget what that mother told David about the anguish.
We are every person's nightmare. That's who we are. Anyone who's a parent, anyone who is a mother or has a mother can imagine what I'm going through.
Tonight here in Israel, demonstrators demanding Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu do something to get him and the other hostages home.
This movement says the cry of Hirsch is the cry of all of the hostages. And they say time to get them out is running out.
And tonight, that mother, who has shown the world her strength, hoping her son stays strong too.
Hirsch, if you can hear this, we heard your voice today for the first time in 201 days. And if you can hear us, I am telling you, we are telling you, we love you, stay strong, survive.
And David, when I met Rachel and John last month, I asked them what it would mean to get Hirsch home. And they said there aren't enough words in every language, but they would be filled with gratitude. David?
Gratitude. That struck me as well. 201 days before seeing their son alive. Tom, thank you. Back here in the U.S. tonight, the Senate overnight passing the aid package for Israel and for Ukraine. President Biden tonight signing it into law. And this evening, we learned the U.S. had already sent long-range missiles to Ukraine, in use already. Here's Selena Wang.
Tonight, as President Biden signs that multi-billion dollar foreign aid package, the White House confirming the U.S. secretly shipped Ukraine long-range missiles, known as ATACMS, for the first time as the war-torn country fights back Russia. Those powerful missiles, which could travel up to 186 miles and were long sought after by President Zelensky, first used by Ukraine last week for an attack on Crimea and again near Berdyansk.
Will more long-range ATACMS be sent to Ukraine as part of this $60 billion aid package?
We will send more. I'm not going to get into specific numbers for operational reasons.
The president today saying the U.S. is immediately sending this desperately needed aid.
I'm making sure the shipments start right away. In the next few hours, we're going to begin sending in equipment to Ukraine for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems, and armored vehicles.
The law also sending $26 billion to Israel and $8 billion to Taiwan. Tonight, Biden praising Democrats and Republicans for pushing through this deal approved by the Senate overnight, after months of some House Republicans railing against aid for Ukraine.
It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer.
And David, that law also includes an ultimatum for TikTok's parent company, either sell the app in a year or get banned in the U.S. David?
Selena Wang at the White House. Selena, thank you. For the first time since overturning Roe versus Wade, the justices at the Supreme Court today hearing arguments about Idaho's near total abortion ban. What happens if a woman in desperate need seeks help in the ER? Here's Rachel Scott.
Tonight, for the first time since overturning Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court weighing the impact of one of the new state abortion bans. Whether hospitals in Idaho, which has a near total ban, can refuse to provide abortions in an emergency if the health of a woman is at serious risk.
If a woman comes to an emergency room facing a grave threat to her health, but she isn't yet facing death, doctors either have to delay treatment and allow her condition to materially deteriorate, or they're airlifting her out of the state so she can get the emergency care that she needs.
The Justice Department today arguing that if a woman's health is at risk, federal law mandates that they receive emergency care, even if that means an abortion. The liberal justices on the court, all women, making it clear Idaho is putting doctors and patients in untenable positions.
Within these rare cases, there's a significant number where the woman is, her life is not in peril, but she's going to lose her reproductive organs.
But many of the conservative justices on the court seemed inclined to support Idaho's position. Justice Samuel Alito noting the federal law mandating emergency care also cites a responsibility to an unborn child.
The statute imposes on the hospital a duty to the woman, certainly, and also a duty to the child. And it doesn't tell the hospital how it is to adjudicate conflicts between those interests, and it leaves that to state law.
Still, even among conservatives, there was some concern about Idaho's position. In one remarkable moment, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a staunch opponent of abortion rights, exclaimed she was shocked by Idaho's argument that women in crisis could be refused an abortion in an emergency room on a case-by-case basis.
It is very case-by-case. The example of
that's the problem. I'm kind of shocked, actually, because I thought your own expert had said below that these kinds of cases were covered, and you're now saying they're not?
No, I'm not saying that. That's just my point, Your Honor, is that...
Well, you're hedging.
A decision on that case is expected in June. Meanwhile, tomorrow, the justices will consider whether or not former President Donald Trump should have absolute immunity in his federal case surrounding his efforts to try to overturn the 2020 election. David.
All eyes on that case as well. Rachel Scott at the Supreme Court. Thank you, Rachel. We turn now to the husband and father vacationing with his wife in Turks and Caicos, arrested after four bullets were found in his luggage at the airport. Could he possibly now face years behind bars? But he's now telling ABC News, and here's Victor Oquendo.
Tonight, an American father possibly facing 12 years in prison in Turks and Caicos after authorities there say they found rounds of ammunition in his carry-on luggage. Ryan Watson and his wife Valerie traveling to the islands earlier this month. Their trip to paradise turning into a nightmare as they headed home. Their bag flagged by airport security.
We had no idea that there was anything alarming. And then they pull out a little tiny Ziploc bag, and it had something gold in it.
Valerie telling ABC affiliate KOCO that inside were four bullets.
I looked at Ryan and I asked, I said, what are those? And he was like, I think those are my hunting, like deer hunting bullets. And that's the bag he uses for weekend trips. And he took it on a hunting trip in the fall.
They were charged with possession of ammunition, their passports confiscated.
But I just hope that they know that at the end of the day, this was an accident.
After 11 days, authorities dropping the charges against Valerie, allowing her to return home to Oklahoma. Just yesterday, reuniting with her two young children.
Watson is now out on bail. He has to check in with police twice weekly, and his next hearing, not until June. David?
Victor Akendo tonight. Victor, thank you. We turn now to the ABC News exclusive. Tonight, the major turning point at the site of that deadly bridge collapse in Baltimore. Terry Moran flying over the site tonight, and what begins there tomorrow?
Tonight, less than a month after the cargo ship Dolly demolished the Francis Scott Key Bridge, a major milestone. Crews working day and night have now cleared a shipping channel deep enough to reopen the port of Baltimore to 80% of the vessel traffic it handled before the disaster. We traveled by Black Hawk helicopter with Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth and General Scott Spellman, head of the Army Corps of Engineers, for a close-up view of the progress at the bridge.
It still takes your breath away.
When we were at the bridge 3 weeks ago, tangled steel trusses jutted above the waterline for hundreds of yards. Now, almost all of that is gone. And starting tomorrow, everything from cruise ships to car carriers and other vital cargo can start moving through here.
Reopening this channel is about, you know, getting $100 billion worth of economic activity for the country turned back on again.
The next big challenge here is that piece. That's 5,000 tons of steel resting on the ship. That's the equivalent of 12 fully loaded Air Force Ones.
General Spellman telling me the Army has a plan to get that steel off the dolly safely.
We're going to take that off with pressure cutting, small explosive charges, and we're going to cut that into manageable pieces. It's going to roll right into the river.
Even as the work continues, they never forget what they call their top priority, those two men, construction workers, still missing in the waters below. The work stops anytime they think there's a chance they've spotted something. David?
That was an extraordinary view, Terry. Thank you. When we come back, you're tracking severe storms, back-to-back systems set to hit and where. And then look at this tonight, the alarming images, the horses running wild on the streets of London. What set them off in a moment?
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, severe storms coming from Texas to Iowa. The system expected to bring strong tornadoes and large hail tomorrow into Friday. A second system this weekend, possible tornadoes, damaging winds and hail from Dallas to Kansas City to Chicago. When we come back tonight, when the airlines will now owe you a refund and the horses running wild in London.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, new rules for airlines if your flight is canceled. The Biden administration says airlines must automatically issue refunds if flights are canceled for any reason. Also, refunds for domestic flights delayed more than 3 hours. The alarming scene in the streets of London, five military horses from the Household Cavalry breaking free, scared by construction work. They went for several miles, some being treated for injuries, several people hurt too, no one seriously. When we come back here tonight, the terrifying and brave scene on the interstate. Finally tonight, the extraordinary rescue, America Strong. Tonight in St. Paul, Minnesota, Interstate 94, the incredible rescue now seen by millions. One stranger after another pulling over during rush hour, all to help a man in an SUV that was on fire. The doors to the SUV stuck against the guardrail. You see them all pulled together trying to pry the doors open. Then a member of Minnesota's Department of Transportation smashing the driver's side window, directing the passenger to crawl out feet first. Right here tonight, some of the strangers who answered the call. Kadir Tola.
Everybody was risking their life, but thank God that we succeed.
And Tessa Sand.
If strangers had not come together, I don't think he would still be here today.
Tonight, the man who they rescued, 71-year-old Sam Urbovich, is home from the hospital and doing well, saying, "I am alive today because Good Samaritan saved my life. I look forward to thanking them all in person." The power of strangers saving Sam. Good night.